Māori ora e te whānau, nau mai hoki mai ki Māori Millionaire. Welcome back to the Māori Millionaire podcast. I am super duper excited for today's podcast episode because today we're here with Taylor. Taylor is the founder of Choose Sarcasm, a Māori-inspired comfort clothing brand based in Ōtautahi, Christchurch. They're all about making high-quality, size-inclusive gear. We love this. Combine humour, Māori culture into their designs to start meaningful discussions about culture and identity. And it's all about celebrating Māori representation. What I personally love so much about True Sarcasm, if you go on their Instagram page, oh my gosh, their content is literally like you couldn't be True Sarcasm without having content like they have. Like you've got to embody the name of your brand, right? So they do that. So, oh my gosh, I just love that so much. But today I asked if Taylor would do us the privilege of actually sharing a little bit of her journey founding this Pākehi for those listening in wanting to gain insight into how they too can achieve the same. I know like clothing brands is like a big thing. I feel like so many people do this, but I feel like it's so interesting to learn like the behind the scenes of what actually makes this business, right? Like you can wear the clothes and stuff, but like who is making the clothes behind the scenes? What is this all about? So yeah, I would love to just start off with hearing a little bit about ko wai koe, why you decided to start Choose Sarcasm. Do like go far as
Go
far
far
back as you
back.
want. Like I'm here to learn about your huarahi. I would love to hear this. So yep on. And like if I've got questions, I'm just gonna ask them.
Yeah, just interrupt away. So 15 when they had me. Yeah, so I guess that came with all of those challenges being young parents. We didn't grow up with a lot of money, but my mom is quite savvy. She's quite yeah, she really like she know she has an entrepreneurial spirit, I would say. Oh my gosh. Why am I getting emotional? This is so crazy.
Safe spaces.
And I guess that this is kind of why. Oh my God. I started this all in the beginning because I haven't had a lot of those safe spaces. Yeah. Especially in this whole Māori world, you know? That's hard sometimes.
Yeah. I've got goosebumps. I feel you.
Okay.
What if it's hard?
You know, being a Māori Pākehi is really cool and it's a point of difference. But it comes with its own challenges of criticisms and just, you know, that whole thing of being Māori enough. Which I know is silly and everyone talks about, but I think like with True Sarcasm, it is a Māori Pākehi and my mum's Māori, my dad's Pākehi. And I purposely don't comment on politics or anything like that because I want it to be accessible for all. You know, language can be celebrated by everyone. And I think the main motivation starting this was that exclusivity that comes around Māori and Māori language. So that was a big driver for me. And I guess just talking about it like this, you know, it's easy to write it down on a piece of paper and easy to write it on a website, but like talking about it like this is completely different.
Why did you start True Sarcasm?
Because I wanted to celebrate Māori language in a way that everyone could, you know, everyone wears clothes. So, yeah, I wanted it to empower Te Reo Māori, but also be something that everyone in Aotearoa could relate to. You know, New Zealanders are known for being sarcastic, but also, like, Māori are also the most sarcastic people you'll ever meet. You know, like, there's always those jokes. And so I think trying to imbue the two together and showing that these two worlds can live together cohesively.
I love this. Dude. I really want to just like, what are some of the actually, because I know them, but for those who aren't familiar with true sarcasm, what are some of like the liners or the quotes that your pakihi uses? Because I personally love them. I actually was just telling Taylor that behind my, I was trying to show her on video, but duh, I can't because they're behind my computer. My maunga is bigger than your maunga. And I was just saying how this is so humorous, right? Like I was showing an event that I was at recently, and she was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. And one of the things I really love about that is that it's so simple to just like, you know, make a moment more humorous. You know, I've shown, well, so many people have just noticed them because they're on my computer. So like I notice them, but like other people, when they see my computer, they're like, oh my gosh, that's funny. And it just lifts the mood. Like, what are some of the thing, what are the, some of the other ones that you use?
We have more dewi less hui, which a lot of people find that they like to wear to work. and I guess that one's just, you know, it's a classic make fun of all the yapping and not the doing. And then we have fresh out of avocado, which is my favorite one. And I guess, you know, when people say, oh, what does that mean? And you say, oh, you know, avocado is your thoughts, and then they're like, oh, and it's like fresh out of, I'm like, it can be taken either way. It's just like the my moga is bigger than your moga. You know, people are like, is this a dick joke? I'm like, well, it can be if you want it to be. What else do we have? We've got fresh out of avocado, more dewi, less hui. Oh, we've got the everything is ka pai on the front, and then there's a dumpster fire on the back.
Yes, I love that one too. That's
Yeah, which is
my
that,
mood.
that meme, that everything is fine meme, you know, where you're sitting there in the house and it's on fire. And then we have the couch kumara, which I call my na native couch potato.
I love that one. That's so good. So I guess I would love to learn more about like your journey founding this business, right? Like, did you know anyone in business growing up? Like what makes you go, I see a problem of, you know, I guess, would you say it's around like te reo Māori not being something that universally is used or most people don't engage in? Or what was like the big problem that you saw? And like what from that problem, what made you go, I'm going to start a business to help create a solution for this problem?
Yeah, I think my mom, she's quite big in the, well, sorry, that's so re weird to say. She's not big. She's like big into the Rārangi world. So she's always off, you know, to hui all the time and Wānanga. And she would always come back with like a cool t-shirt or something. And I was always like, that's cool, I want one. And she'd be like, oh, they were just selling them at this thing, or they were just giving them out at this thing. And so I was like, stink, I missed out on that, and that was really cool. So I guess originally I was looking at, you know, all these cool Māori designs and such that were getting put out, and you know, I got a few, but some of them were just, you know, in vinyl and different things. And I was like, these are falling apart. How can we have cool Māori clothing that lasts a long time? And that doesn't look cheap or fastly made.
Fastly made,
Fastly, quickly made. Oh my gosh. And with cool colours, you know, like I love the red, white and black, but you know, sometimes you want a bit more of contemporary that you can wear with your wardrobe. So yeah, I mean, originally It wasn't called true sarcasm. Originally, it
Oh.
was called anti-positivities.
Oh.
And I actually, yeah, anyway, maybe I'll go back. Maybe I'll rewind. Like, I am a trained primary school teacher. And I was working, I got my first teaching job kind of before COVID, and I was working in this really low decile school, and I was loving it. And I'd always wanted to be a teacher. I thought that was always what I wanted to do. Like, as a child, I would play teachers after school in my bedroom with like all of my toys. And yeah, I guess I was always drawn to working with kids. Like, after I finished high school, I nannied for a year on a horse farm in Australia. To four kids, and that was amazing, and I loved it. And I was like, yep, yeah, cool, this is what I want to do. So I guess two, why we moved to Australia is being in Ōtautahi. I was here for both of the major earthquakes, and so my dad's family had lived in Australia, in Brisbane, for 10 years before the earthquakes hit. So and also more back. I have a 14-year-old sister who was 2 weeks old at the time of the February earthquake. So we were kind of just like living in this house. It had a chimney, so we couldn't live inside. So we were like tenting in our backyard. And yeah, mum and dad were like, this is not really the life we want to live right now. So they made the decision to just go for a holiday to Brisbane to see my dad's family. And we kind of packed up our house. I got two suitcases, and then we just invited all our friends and family over, who some had lost, lost stuff in the earthquakes. So we donated a lot of our things to them. And then we moved to Australia, and I say moved because, it was a holiday that ended up lasting for my parents, it lasted for 10 and a half years. And for
Wow.
me, I'd had enough of all the Australians after about four. So yeah, I guess, yeah, I moved back from Australia by myself.
How old were
And
you?
I finished high school at 17, and Australia high school, my goodness, coming from a school here where there was 300 people in my entire school from year zero to, it was actually year zero to 10 school. Going to an Australian high school with 300 people in my year level, like,
Oh my
was
goodness.
absolutely mad. Like, I would
That's
get
crazy.
lost. It was crazy. Yeah, so that was a whole new thing, living in Australia. Like, it's like the set of Mean Girls. Like, honestly, the closer you sit to the canteen, the cooler you are. Like, those girls date like the jock guys, and there's all the cliques. And I was just like this little person from New Zealand being like, what the heck is this world? And it's only 3 hours away. And it's anyway. And people asked me if we had power in New Zealand. Was like, what the
Oh
heck?
my
So
God.
anyway, I
That's so
finished high school
funny.
at 17, because they only go to year 12 there. So, yeah, I graduated at 17, and I moved back here at 18. And I actually, before I went to teachers' college, I decided to go to Udder and study a full immersion year, because obviously going to high school in Australia, I missed out on te reo at school. So I did that, and didn't have the greatest time. But that's a whole
It would have been
other
tough
story.
without power.
Yes, really hard without power.
That
You really had to use paper and pen. Oh my gosh. It was honestly, that was the funniest question I ever got asked. But yeah, anyway, yeah. So then I moved back. I did that year, and then I was like, right, I'm going to go to teachers college. And my parents were like, cool, well, if you're going to do it, like, you do it. Like, people always go, oh, I got this from my parents. And I got this. Like, I did it myself. I did it all myself. Yeah, and that was crazy. Like, that was, I guess, too, again, rewinding back. My parents had me at 15, so we didn't grow up with a lot. We moved around heaps because my dad was actually studying radio at the time, and so he was moving around for different jobs, and so we would, move around. And I think by the time I, what am I, 27 now? I think I've lived in like over 40 different houses. Like we
Oh my
moved
goodness.
so much. Like Dad always joked that we are gypsies running away from the law. But yeah, so I guess, they really encouraged me to, do well at school and to be better than them, right? They all
Yeah.
had their own perceptions of them and who they were. Having me at 15, they had all of those challenges, and mum always made sure I looked nice and my hair was always done and I, had clean clothes and I did well at school, and so I was good at playing the system. I could do it. I could do the university life, but I think
Yeah.
I also got my dad's trait of just asking too many questions and wondering why. Why did we have to do it that way? Could we do it differently? And so that did get me in a little bit of trouble. And I ended up failing my second to last placement, and told I wasn't going to graduate.
Wow.
So that was crazy, and that was a battle, and I fought really hard, and I got an extra placement that year, and I ended up going on the Japan excursion to go and
Wow.
teach in Japan for a bit, which was really cool. Yeah, and so then I graduated with all my friends, and that was really awesome, and that whole experience taught me a lot. And I think too, like with my parents being in Australia, like obviously I have heaps of fun over here, but it's different when it's not your mom, dad. Yeah, so I put myself through university, funded, worked two jobs, did extra babysitting, the fantasy didn't go to plan, like you have this fantasy of higher education and all of that. Yeah, and then I got my first teaching job, and I was like, "Woohoo, steady paycheck!" All of that, but whatever, steady paycheck. Yeah, and then as I was in my, I think it was pretty much towards the end of my first year, I think was when the, I can't even remember, it's such a blur. But I was teaching, and then I was teaching in bubble school, and then I was teaching online, and then I was teaching in bubble school, and then I was doing all these things, and as I started my second year of teaching, again, that was a crazy year of like opening and closing and opening and closing. And at that time, that's actually when mum and dad were like, "Cool, we want to move home. We've had enough." So they moved home, and we all lived together, because I was super excited to see them, and and so they saw me and what I was doing, and they were like, "You can't live like this." And I think because at the time, I was single, living alone. I just put everything into that job because I was like, this is my life. All my friends, from university, we were all teachers, we all hung out together. That was the reality of everyone's life that I knew, that was my reality. I didn't really know anything else at the time. And they were like, "You can't keep doing this, like you're working so much, too much." So they were like, "Let's just take a year off." They were like, "Do something else. You can always come back to it. You're fully registered, blah, blah. You've done all your, you've ticked all the boxes. Like, just, we're here now. Let's just, And during that time, too, mum and I actually cared for my whāngai grandfather, who we did palliative care for him through his last year and a half of life. So there was like all this stuff. And mum was like, "You just need a break." So I listened to them and I was like, "Okay, I'll take a break." And they were like, "Don't get a job." And I was like, "Okay, I won't get a job." So I took a year off, and then, and I say that, I took a year off. I took 3 months off. And then my cousin was like, "Hey, I really need some help with this thing. Like, do you just want a casual job?" I was like, "Okay, fine. Make some money. Like, that's all cool." And my mum actually, she's hilarious. Like, as a child, I would go with her to the supermarket with a calculator. We'd go through the supermarket, we'd calculate all the things, we'd decide what to put back. So I think too, like my mum, I owe my money savviness to her because she always knew how to budget. She always knew, I don't know, like all of that stuff just, and maybe I learned it too young, probably, but the importance of money too. And so I was actually so thankful when they moved back, they were like, "You don't have to pay rent, just take a year off." So to me, I was like, that's really cool. Yeah, and so then my cousin was like, here, I have this casual job. And so I ended up working at a shopping centre here in Ototahi, in the centre management office. And it started off just like organising the stationery and just like moving stuff around, setting up computers, like super boring. But I got introduced to the commercial world and I was like, what is this world? And then I started doing more and more things, like helping the operations manager, helping the marketing manager. I made really good friends with the lady who, oversaw the front desk. And being a mall that was kind of in an area of Christchurch that has a large Māori population, I was like, there's not really much Māori representation in here. So, I put up te reo stickers on the doors and for the wharepaku, and I just was like, while I'm here, I'm just going to try and do as much as I can. So
Lovely.
that was really fun. But I got quite bored in the commercial
Yeah.
world because it's like 9 to 5, really slow. And I realized that I have a high capacity and teachers have high capacities because you're essentially running like, I don't even know, a million little mini meetings every day with all these little humans who are chaotic. So that was really slow. And so I guess during that time and during the whole COVID time, and everyone was like, be positive, be positive. I was like, oh, it's so annoying. Sometimes you don't want to be like uber positive. And I understand, you can't wallow and I don't. I'm not saying wallow because that's not a good thing, but I was like, we can poke fun at these like uber positive things. You're allowed to have a little bit of fun and allowed to be a bit sarcastic. So that's when I was working in that commercial job, I started anti-positivities, and whilst it was a fun play on words, it was very hard for people to find and spell. So again, that's a thing that I would tell people when you're starting a business, make the name really easy to find. Anyway, so in that, I started drawing like little characters, and Dad was like, he always wanted to have a t-shirt company. He's always wanted that. He's always been obsessed with t-shirts, and specifically funny t-shirts. Like he's kind of like a novelty t-shirt collector, and I've always watched him do that. So then he was like, oh, you should put some of those on clothing. And so I was like, okay. So then I just kind of was like, should we research it? Blah, blah. Anyway, figured out how to do it. Got a wee t-shirt press, put it in my room, just started like doing it.
I love this. What was the financial side of that? Like, how did you get started? Were you using, the money? Like, I would love to know about like the back end of that.
Yeah, I guess I was just like, Dad was like, just put them on t-shirts and do that. And I was like, okay. And so I kind of started and I was using money from just my job because at this point, still, mum and dad weren't charging me rent. So I was like, woohoo, I can use this to make this thing for myself. And then someone told me about the Ngāi Tahu Punapakihi startup grant. So I wrote a wee business plan. I tried to like really hone into what I wanted to do, and that's when I decided I really wanted to, do like Māori whakatauki. And I had this like chicken, this really hilarious chicken thing, and it was like, I know it's kind of random, like a chicken, but and it said Kua Puta Petal, which was one of my favorite whakatauki from when I was studying. I always would use that. And so then I just wrote this kind of like business plan. I actually looked at it the other day. It is so terrible.
I
It is
love
so
this.
funny. But they gave me $5,000 as part of the startup Ngāi Tahu business grant. So I used that to invest in some stock, some foils, to start my Shopify subscription. Like a table. Just,
Love it.
like you just your usual just stuff. And then I was like, okay, I need to sell these. So I started going to markets, and I didn't do a pre-order model. Like, well, now we do a pre-order model to, reduce the
Upfront costs.
and also textile waste, right? So we're not sitting on five
Yeah.
smalls that people aren't buying. So
Yeah.
you're not having to guess the sizes or the designs or the colors, because there's so many variations.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's so many variations, color, size, print color. Anyway, so at that point, I wasn't pre-ordering. I was actually buying and making. And so $5,000 didn't get me very far, but I invested in all the equipment. And yeah, and then I guess it just kind of kept going from there. And I then had a little choose sarcasm as part of Antipositivities. So, and it was my best selling item.
Yeah.
I was making fun of that whole like choose happiness.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then Dad was like, he was working a sales job at this point, and he said, I can't do this anymore. Like, let's do something for us.
Yeah.
Like, let's you quit your commercial job, I'll quit my sales job, and we'll like do something for us. And so I was like, okay. And then we incorporated our own whānau company. So mum's part of it too. And I said to them, well, what do you want to do about Antipositivities? And we kind of had a brain, we went out for lunch and had a brainstorming session about, what we could do. And they asked me heaps of questions about it. And, like what was the best selling thing? And because at this point, whilst they encouraged me to do this thing for myself, they really wanted me to, figure it out and fail myself, oh, that didn't work, and oh, that didn't
Yeah.
work. And yeah, so that was really cool. So when they were asking me all these questions, I felt it was really exciting because I could answer them all. And I really established then, I think at that meeting, that the Māori language things that I was making had the most impact and were selling the most. And people were really reacting well to that. And then that's kind of how all of the yeah, and then I was talking to mum about how, she has her cool merch that she gets from Wananga, but that's not accessible to other people. So how can we build something that's accessible to everyone? Yeah. And then they were like, okay, well, shall we? And I said about the name, how it's so hard for people to find. And mum was like, I can't even find it. I can't even tell my friends. Like, she's like, I'm so proud of you, and I want to like show my friends, but I can't even spell it and
That's
find it. And I was like,
so
oh my gosh. So
funny.
then we just, yeah, I was
Red
like, my own mum can't
flag.
even find it. So then I started, is it? And then they were like, okay, well, true sarcasm is like your best selling thing. The ethos is about, being Kiwi and making poking fun in a light-hearted but also in a, I don't know,
Impactful
like,
way.
yeah. So they were like, why don't we rebrand it to Choose Sarcasm? So I was like, okay. And then, Instagram handle was available, the Facebook handle was available, the website was available, and it all just kind of, the
Tickled
stars
you.
aligned. Yeah,
Love it.
exactly. So then, yeah, we've rebranded it, and now it kind of is what it is today. Yeah, and we're all a part of it, so it's part of our whānau company, and we just kind of trade as True Sarcasm, with all of our other things that we do in the other world. But it's definitely our creative fun outlet.
I love
Yeah.
this so much. That is such an interesting story. And like, thank you so much for sharing that. You spoke a little bit at the beginning about like some of the challenges that you've navigated with, well, being a Pākehā Māori and being Māori enough or that.
Yeah.
I would love to hear more about this kind of side of things. And I guess more specifically, what were those challenges and how do you overcome them, or have you overcome them? Are you moving through them? Like, how is that all going?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a weird world to be in. And when I was talking to Sasha from Naitohu when we did that article, she was asking me kind of some similar questions, and I said to her that true sarcasm purposely doesn't align with anything political because it's walking that middle part. It's about uniting as Kiwis, as New Zealanders, as people who live in Aotearoa, to embrace who we are. We are sarcastic, Māori, non-Māori. You know, it's and I think too, like my mum, Māori, looks Māori, but you know, she has Scottish heritage too, you know? So we all like I guess we all live here and we all coexist here together. And I think it's funny too when you put Māori things on clothing, people comment. And all people comment, you know, like I've had people come up to my stall at a market, and this was actually at the last market I did. She was rifling through and she was like, ugh, who would even wear this?
Oh my goodness.
And you know, like you have people like that, and people go, if I could read it, maybe I'd buy it.
My gosh.
And
That's wild.
so like, I guess it's really big for me to put myself out there like this because, you know, I spoke a bit about, you know, that whole feeling Māori enough. But then also, like, I have Māori come up to me and say, where did you get that saying from? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, why did you put that on the t-shirt? And I'm like, because that's what I say in my whānau. Like, we say this. We say these things to each other. So what saying? I mean, if it was all in English, no one would ask me. Well, maybe some people if I copyrighted, but you know, I just feel like there's people who make comments, and it's been a really big learning for me to just, you know, water off a duck's back, move on. You can't be everything to everyone, but I think what we're trying to achieve is resonating with more people than it's not. And you know, people say that racism doesn't exist. I've seen it.
And like even just on that, I feel like this would be so interesting to hear your take on is you've got this mission, so you know what it is that you're doing. You know why you're here. And like, you know, everyone talks about like finding your why. And you know, when things get hard, you fall back on that why. But like, you know, sometimes you can have this why, you can know why you're doing what you're doing. But when the haters just keep on like talking, it can be really hard to move through that. What are some of the strategies that you use? Like, what do you tell yourself when, you know, you feel like nothing is working or you feel like everyone's hating, even if it's say, just like I wrote a post about this, I think like a year ago or something, and I was talking about how you can have like 100 nice comments and like it's just the one that
The
like
one that you focus on,
That one comment that someone leaves, and that's what you think about when you're going to sleep at night, you know, like, so how do you move through that? Like, what's your experience with that?
I guess a few parts. Being a teacher taught me to
Kids are
really,
ruthless.
they are ruthless. Oh my gosh. Like, you really have to have a thick skin around them. And I think before that, I took things on board and I took things to heart. And then I think becoming a teacher, I really was like, sorry, an 8-year-old says that to me. Like, I don't know. I've had, you know, everything said to me by children. But then you gain those really cool relationships with them, and then, you know, things change and morph. But I think becoming a teacher and working in that space, that really taught me one, to not listen, because sometimes people are saying things out of frustration, of anger, confusion.
Not always true.
It's not always true. They're just lashing out. And so I think all of those situations taught me that. I also, you know, I quit the thing that I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life, you know, and that was crazy and took me so long to move past. You know, I thought I was failing because I was like, I've spent so much money, so much time, like so many years into this thing that I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life. And here I am starting again. Like, and I kind of felt like a failure for a bit because people would be like, oh, so what are you doing now? And I was like, I have a t-shirt company. You know,
You
like
study.
you know, like people say, have a career, have a, you know, and that's what I thought I should do. So I guess going through all of that and, you know, having to stand up in FGC conferences with all these adults and stand up for these children who, I really believed in because I knew them. Like that was really hard. And I think that kind of taught me that in this world, there's so much deeper than, those comments that those people make in those moments. So, when that lady at the market said to me, if I could read it, then maybe I'd buy it. She was obviously feeling threatened because she didn't know what that word meant. And she obviously has her own misconceptions about, the word wharipapa being put up and maybe she'll get lost or, the whole Māori street signs, people are like, well, I don't know where I am. And I think there's a lot of fear from those people. And so I just have to remind myself that that comes from a place of fear and not actually, it's nothing to do with me personally. They're not annoyed at me. Yeah. And I think just all of those things have really come into play. But I mean, I'm also a softie. I cry. You know that.
I love that. I literally love that because it actually, I grew up. It's only really, this is so weird. I've never spoken about this on my podcast before, but growing up, I didn't cry like hardly at all. I just suppressed everything. And it's only really like the past, wee while that I've actually learned how to cry. And it's so cool. I love it. One of my friends, she's a crier too. And I say, I love it when you cry because it just like, it normalizes it, allows other people to do it. There's nothing wrong with crying. It's actually like a good, healthy thing. I love it so much. So, yeah, thank you for feeling safe to cry. We love
It's
this.
so, I feel annoyed though. Like sometimes I get annoyed at myself because then I'm like, I have something I want to say, and why is this stopping me from saying it? But, there's obviously a reason,
Yeah.
and
Feelings are supposed to be felt like they're supposed to come up. And like I remember a mentor telling me that was that your body, when it will only like bring up what it feels like you are actually able to bring up. Otherwise it wouldn't. Otherwise, like I spent most of my life just like pushing it down because I didn't actually feel safe to feel. So it, like it's actually a good thing. It's like you feel okay to feel those things, which is a good thing. And it's like, imagine if we had no feelings. Like imagine how dumb the world would be. Like it's
Imagine.
hard, but it's also like we can't experience happiness without the sadness,
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my
Exactly.
goodness. I absolutely love this. If you could give anyone advice starting their own Pākehi, like what would it be? And like, yeah, I can let you go.
That if you're getting into business with your whānau, be prepared for them to be really annoying. My dad annoys me every single day. What would my advice be? My advice would be, it's really exciting to learn at the beginning. And I think coming from teaching, I realized how many transferable skills I actually had from that. And it is exciting to figure out how everything works and to do the doing. But there are times and there are points where you have to ask for help. And actually asking for help is not failing. Asking for
No.
help is actually cool because you've reached your capacity of what you know, and so you're pulling other people's knowledge in. Yeah, I would say that. I would say building a team around you is also really important. Because they are, at the end of the day, they are your support network. And I think I'm lucky in the business world to have, to be a part of a whānau Pākehi. But I know some people do it by themselves, and that's isolating. So, and so finding a community of people that you can talk to, because, the business world of challenges is so different. Like when I catch up with my teaching friends, their challenges and their days look so different to mine. And so I think building those communities of people around you that are in those similar worlds is really helpful too, because you can learn from them, they can learn from you. Like, I have an accountant because I don't like accounting. I
Me
don't have a
too.
maths brain.
Yeah.
So, like, those things, you're allowed. You're allowed
Yeah.
to But then again, in saying that, there are boring parts of business that you do have to do. You can't always be fun, but there are also things you can outsource, like accounting.
Oh my gosh. What have some of your wins been in business? And like, I'd love to learn more about this.
What are my wins? Well, after 3 years of true psychism, it's finally sustaining itself.
Oh
So
my
no
God.
more topping up, which
I
is so
love
cool.
this. Amazing.
I would say that's a really big win for me
Yeah,
because
that's huge.
we've been product testing this gear for ages, and
Yes.
in that time where we kind of rebranded, we shut it down for a year
Oh.
to kind of relook at the products, relook at all, kind of just do a full rehaul. So I'd say that that's a really big win. And I think a big part of that is moving to the pre-order model. So, I mean, 20 days might seem like a really long time, but 20 days of waiting for something when it's, ordered for you specifically and it's made for you is really cool because then you know that. And you see those companies and you see people who are like having a sale and you're like, cool. And you go on and there's extra smalls and 5XLs available. Everything else is sold out, And you go, oh, okay. So it's not really a sale. You're just trying to move stock. And I think people are becoming more aware of that. And there's so much textile waste, especially in New Zealand. And we didn't want to contribute to that, like behind me in my beautiful garage. We've got some stuff because, we do markets and we want to be able to sell actual things at the market. So we make a range of stuff. And, then we'll use that to fulfill orders or, depending on what we've got coming up, we might just hold it for the next market. And it's funny too because we'll go to a market and everyone will want mediums and then we're like, okay, so then we'll print mediums and we'll go to the next market and everyone wants larges. So it's just like, ugh. So I think also too, moving to that pre-order model and changing our thinking around that has been really cool. And people are actually happy to wait. People like it. People like that it's made for them. People like that I press it here in the garage. People like that the clothes that we get are a specific pattern made for Kiwis. They are wider in the shoulders and slightly longer, so they fit well. I think that's a really big win for us. And I think too, I just absolutely every single time an order comes through, like I always run around and tell everyone, whoever's listening, that we got an order because like that's so exciting to me that people in this climate are spending their hard-earned money with us. And, that whole customer trust is really hard to build. So that's kind of why we've started doing markets once a month to talk to real people, to get real people's feedback, to get reviews and to get testimonials and all of those things because just on the online space, it's so hard. And, what's to say they're going to put their credit card and buy a hoodie from us or, like it's how because that's that brand recognition, it's getting that trust, which we're starting to get. And we have sold all around New Zealand, we've sold to Australia, to a lot of the Maori communities, where lots of Maori live in Australia. We've sold to the UK, we've sold to Japan, and we had this lady send a t-shirt to her dad who lives in Vegas. So like that was hilarious. So I guess for me, every order is a win. I just get so excited.
I love this so much, Taylor. Like, your story has moved me. I literally was tearing up at the beginning of our episode. It's been relatable. It's been just so heartwarming. I have absolutely loved hearing your story today, and I just wanted to thank you for sharing this with so much like transparency and being so open with everyone who's listening in today. I know so many aspiring business owners. Oh my gosh, can I even speak? Yeah, so many aspiring business owners or already established business owners are going to be able to take so much away from your courage that you shared everything today. So I just wanted to like big mihi to you for all of that. If anyone is interested in supporting True Sarcasm, because of course, like, why would you not? How can they find you? I'm going to put all of your links in the description down below, but like, how can they find you? How can they support you?
We have an Instagram, and I'm sorry if you watch the videos. Some of them are very unhinged.
I love them.
It's just True Sarcasm on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and then our website's truesarcasm.co.nz.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. Any final words you want to leave with our audience today?
No, this has been really fun and a lot. I also have learned a lot from you, and I think what you're doing is really cool, and I really love following your journey. And I talk about, not always being uber positive, but you are the positive, and I think that gets a lot of people through. So that's, people need that.
Oh, thank you so much, Taylor, and big mihi to you for your time today. So grateful. I can't wait to hear how everyone finds today's episode. But yeah, that is us for our episode, E Te Whānau.